Will you stand in honor of God's word and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we bring to a conclusion today our Seven Secrets of Success sermon series. We began 7 weeks ago by speaking on the topic, your attitude toward success. If you do not believe that you cannot succeed with God's help and God's grace, you never will. God's word says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Say that with me. As a man thinketh, so is he. Then we talked about qualifying for success. 8 basic Bible reasons why a lot of good, clean, hardworking people will never experience God's success because they disqualify themselves according to the word of God. Then we talked about investing for success and then success without worry. Some of you are masterful worriers. You dedicate your finest hours to it. You worry when there's nothing to worry about because things are going so good, you worry. Then we talked about success through excellence and then success demanding endurance. All of those are on tape and are available in the Narthex as you leave today if you'd like to have them. Today, for the final and perhaps the greatest theme of all of the above, success that loves. The Bible emphatically says that you're nobody till somebody loves you, and that without love, you're nothing. No poet ever put his pen in ink and ever came up with a more perfect portrait of love than did St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Not Byron, not Shelley, not Keats, not Shakespeare, not even Browning with his, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." The love of God has depth. It is measureless. It has no boundaries. It has a portrait found in the powerful expressions of St. Paul. What does love look like? What does love feel like? What does love behave like? Let me tell you something. Love is more than sex. I want to say that to this national television audience. Sex is wonderful, and most of us are here because of it. You see, God created sex. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Bruce. And we're all here because of that. You put a healthy man and a healthy woman together, and they'll make sparks, won't they? Boy, that's weak. I'm going to tell you. Won't they? They better make sparks. You see, a middle-aged wife was watching a television soap opera with her husband, and there was a man kissing a woman very passionately, and she said to her husband, said, "Harry," said, "you see how that man on television is kissing that woman?" Said, "see how he's nibbling on her ear? You don't do that anymore, Harry." Harry got up to leave the room. She said, "where are you going, Harry?" He said, "I'm going to go get my teeth in the bathroom." You can lose your teeth, but just don't lose your fire. 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to read verses 1 through 8, and then verse 13 with me, shall we? "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal." Translate the word charity, love, because that's what it is. "As though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But where there is prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there is tongues, they shall cease. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish away." Verse 13. "And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege of sharing the word of the Lord. And hopefully today, as we bring this preaching series to a conclusion, that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ can consume our lives, consume our marriages, can flood our homes, and fill this church so that the battered and bruised of our society can walk in these doors and experience a baptism in the living, gracious, eternal, sovereign love of a loving God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said amen. You may be seated. Let's begin with this single solitary point that St. Paul, the most brilliant writer on the theme of love, confirmed over and over again in 1 Corinthians 13. And that is, without love, I am nothing. Say that with me. Without love, I am nothing. Our lives are shaped by those that love us and by those who refuse to love us. There are numbers of you in this audience, and probably thousands watching by national television, whose lives have been twisted by those who refuse to love you. There are many, many women in this room and thousands watching by television whose fathers did not love you, and that has hurt you forever. And there are many sons whose mothers or fathers did not love you, and that has hurt you for all of your life. The Bible says that love is the most powerful force ever released on this planet. Love is more powerful than hatred. Love is something that literally gives you life. Without love, you are dead. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers." Anyone who does not love remains in death. If love is lacking, we remain in death. We are not the sons and daughters of God, no matter what spiritual experience you may claim. If you keep religious rules without love, you're in nothing more than a cult. Jesus said, "By this sign shall all men know that you are my disciples," said with me, "that you love one another." You see, people say, "I know I'm a child of God because I've joined the church." Wrong. Joining the church makes you no more a child of God than a bath, a bar of soap, and a red ribbon make a pig a poodle. That doesn't save you. People say, "Well, I know I'm a child of God because I give money to the church." I want you to know that many cults demand everything you earn. That the communists give 50, 60, 70, 80% of their income to the party. Sometimes willingly, sometimes not. You can't say you're a Christian because you give, because cults give. We know that we are God's child when we love the brethren and we love one another. Let me tell you something. Christianity without love is nothing more than another cult. There are people meeting in churches today that don't love God, they don't love each other, and they can't hardly wait till it gets over. It's nothing but a form of godliness from which St. Paul said, "Turn away." Without God's love, we are nothing. The church is nothing. The gospel is powerless. Without love, you have no value. Without love, in a word, you're junk. Do you know what junk is? It's something that has no longer any ability to contribute anything to anybody for any reason. That's junk. Without love, you are nothing. A molecular non-entity. Do you get what I'm driving at here? Look at these phrases Paul uses. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels." What does that mean? It means this. I personally have studied Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Spanish, and English, and have mastered none of them. I can tell you that. A wife said to her husband, said, "You don't speak very well." And the husband, "Oh yes," said, "Yes, I do. I speak as well as you do. Weller, in fact." A cat chased a mouse through the house. The mouse went into the wall. While it was hiding in the wall, the mouse said, "I wonder if the cat's gone." In a few minutes, the mouse heard, "Bow wow!" And the mouse said, "Ha, if there's a dog out there, the cat's gone." So the mouse confidently ran through the hole in the wall, came back in the room, and the cat scooped up the mouse. And while the cat had the mouse in its hand, the cat looked at the mouse and said, "You gotta be bilingual." If I speak with the tongues of men, there are men in the United Nations building that can speak five languages and translate. And they, in the carnal logic of men, are really something. If you were eloquent in every language on earth, every dialect, your carnal logic would say, I am something. But God says, without love, you are nothing. Say that with me. I am nothing. Though I speak with prophecy, what does that mean? That means if I knew the future. If I could predict tomorrow with 100% accuracy, if I could predict what the stock market was going to be exactly, if I could predict where earthquakes were going to take place, if I could predict what planes were going to crash, if I could predict what tornadoes were going to hit what areas, if I could walk into the Pentagon and say the Russian war plans happen to be this and hit it right on the head every time. Carnal logic would say, I am something. God says without love, say it with me, you are nothing. If I understand all mysteries, what does that mean? Well, right now we have in America the mystery of AIDS. It is a medical mystery. It's going to kill 20 million Americans in the next 12 years. It may kill 100 million people in the Western world. You do not have to be Phi Beta Kappa in political science to know that it's going to restructure the Western world politically and economically if a medical miracle is not found. Cancer is another mystery. I've walked the corridors of the hospital on a weekly basis, and the cure to cancer is a mystery. I've sat on the bedside of children dying with cancer and prayed, oh God, let us find a solution to this mystery called cancer. Brilliant men and women in the medical profession are working day and night trying to find and solve this mystery. Billions are being spent to find an answer. What if I could call the National Cancer Association in Washington, the NCA, and say, I have found the mystery to cancer. I have the solution. I would win the Pulitzer Prize, hands down, no contest. Time, Newsweek would have me on the front page of their magazine. Every newspaper in the world would be carrying my picture and my life story. Television reporters would be on my front lawn to the curb. In the logic of carnal minds, I would be something. But God says, if you have the ability to solve all mysteries and you have not love, say it with me, you are nothing. And the next phrase, if I have all knowledge. In every field of knowledge, if you knew it all, in chemistry, in mathematics, in political science, if you were so advanced in political science, Henry Kissinger hid in the closet when you walked in the room. You know, knowledge is like an ocean. Freshmen in college know a lot. They really do. You want to know how to run the world? Ask a freshman. He'll tell you. When you graduate, you know just enough to know how infinitely stupid you are. And the longer you go, and the deeper you see the ocean is, it's just amazing what we don't know. But Paul said, if I have all knowledge, really legitimately had all knowledge in every area of human endeavor, carnal logic would say that man is something. But God says, said with me, without love, I am nothing. You see, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, what does that mean? I'm reminded of the story of Smith Wigglesworth. How many of you have ever read any of his books, Smith Wigglesworth? He's a great man of faith. He was praying one day and the Lord told him to get up and cross town and go pray for a lady that was sick. Immediately, instantly he obeyed, he crossed town, he went and knocked on the door of the lady's house that was sick. The man came to the door, opened the door, and Brother Wigglesworth said, I am here to pray for the babe, for the lady who has just died. And the man said, well, I'm sorry, we just really cannot help you because she's been deceased now for almost a half hour. Smith Wigglesworth said, it makes no difference. God sent me over here to pray for her. So he went into the room, asked everyone to leave the room, took the corpse out of the bed, leaned the corpse up against the wall, and said, in Jesus' name, live! And she walked and went out of the house and greeted her family. I don't bat in that league. Not very many other people bat in that league. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Paul said, if I did bat in that league, if you have all faith, if you have total faith, and have the ability to move mountains, then you most assuredly, without love, amount to nothing. If I have all faith so that I can move mountains and do not, then say it, I am nothing. You see, we have that mentality that if I have just a little more faith than the ordinary, I am something. And then he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. There is the story in the Bible of the rich young ruler who kept all of the commandments. How many of you know that made him a very special person? You don't understand that? Well, let me ask you, how many of you kept all the commandments? Let's run it by one more time. How many of you know he's a real good guy? I got you that time. He said, I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. Why? Because we love our possessions. How many of you know you love your possessions? Say which? How many of you know we love our possessions? Sure. You can hear Jesus ask this man to give all he had. I can get up here and talk about you giving God one-tenth of what you have in your tithe. And yeah. You think I'm trying to pull your teeth out with pliers? Jesus said, give all you have to the poor. And the man went away sorrowful. Because even if you give all that you have to feed the poor, you would then be prone to say in yourself smugness, I am something. But God's word says, without love, you are nothing. You see, what is the portrait of love? There are 14 definitions. 7 deal with you and 7 deal with other people. First, love is patient. Say that with me. Love is patient. Patient is a word that means it endures. Love never gets tired of trying. Love never gives up. Love never gets tired of waiting. There's the cartoon that we often refer to and have seen that says, with a little man praying beside his bed, he's looking at God and saying, I prayed for patience last night, so what's the holdup? That's the American attitude. Or the billboard on the side of the highway that says, antiques, manufactured while you wait. That's the American idea. Fast foods. I don't care if it doesn't taste good, get it here. We want what we want, when we want it, like we want it, and get it there now. If a God who is powerful and patient can't understand that, when he doesn't answer us, when we want, like we want, we say, God doesn't love us. Where are you, God, when I need you? How many of you have ever had those ideas about God? Where are you, God, when I need you? I need you yesterday at 12 o'clock, and you didn't show up. That's because great love is patient. During World War II, people said, why doesn't God kill Hitler? During the Korean War, people said, why doesn't God kill Joseph Stalin? During the Eichmann trial in Israel, people said, why did God ever let such a monster live who systematically executed the Jewish people? Why? Because greatness is slow to anger. And a part of God's greatness is his patience. Great love is patient love. It is enduring love. God has that kind of love. Do you? Is your love patient with your family? Are you patient with your wife? Are you patient with your husband? Do you say, I'm telling you for the last time, Mary, this is it. Botch it one more time and pow, right in the kisser. I'm telling you, Harry, one more botch up and you've had it, boy. My way or the highway, smack. You see, I've told you before of the battleship canoe relationship. I worked on the waterfront in Houston working my way through college as a longshoreman. You can put tons on the side of one of those ocean-going boats, and it will not list hardly at all. You can put 15 pounds on the edge of a canoe, and it'll flip over. Because a canoe is a very fragile, unstable vessel. But a big ocean-going liner that holds all of that cargo can just plow through the raging seas. Some of you have emotional dispositions like a canoe. Just 5 pounds or one little glitch gets out of kilter in your little life and over you go. Everybody around you gets wet. You're upside down all the time. Your top side and bottom side look alike because they have equal exposure. Then there's the battleship. Just plows through the storm. Nothing bothers it. That's how God's love is. It just keeps on keeping on until it reaches its objective. What kind of love do you have? God's love is kind. Say that with me. God's love is kind. Philip's translation is, love looks for a way to be constructive. Think about that. Kindness is love in action. Love is not what you say. Love is what you do. Some of you have the gift of balarney. Oh, I love you, mama. And you never do anything to back all of that hot air up. Boy, you should see the elbows flying in this room. I'm going to tell you, we're going to issue rib pads here one of these days. Kindness is the ability to love people more than they deserve. How many times do I hear on a weekly basis, my husband doesn't deserve that kind of love? Whew. Do you ever see anybody kiss a bulldog, mama? It don't happen very often. The Bible says, you'll love one another like I loved you. How is that? Jesus loved us unconditionally. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. That means we didn't deserve to be loved, but He loved us anyway.